gentlemen, it has been about 48 hours since I approached you and set forth my reasons for intending not to vote. And wow, what a 48 hours it has been. I have been called a fraud. I have had F-bombs thrown at me. Mind you, these are by fellow teachers. We're not talking about just random anonymous accounts on Twitter or something like that. But I also experienced a great deal of kindness, a great deal of constructive discussion about voting, and a great deal of constructive criticism and serious disappointment. People expressing these disappointments as adults and never refusing to allow me my decision, but giving me their thoughts on it, that perhaps I'm some sort of role model for people. Now, I would agree with a person in the A Push Teachers Facebook group that said kids deserve better role models than me. 100% I agree with that, okay? That there are all kinds of people for you to look up to. So, yeah, take that advice. But today, I just thought about it, and I found my why. I told you last time that I was thinking about Rene Descartes, who said, I think, therefore I am. Now, at the same time, one of my colleagues, Mr. Gomez, said, suffragio ergo sum. I vote, therefore I am. And thank you to those 52 people, actually more than 60 people, who explained to me why they were voting, teachers and students. And if you haven't seen me read these stories yet, look at the previous broadcast. It was really touching. You know, one of my friends texted me last night and said that, you seem to be wavering. And I really was. It was very difficult to go through these 52 people's stories and to sit on the sidelines. Now, of course, I had my reasons for it, and I made those very clear the other night. And I think that our toxic political culture, something has to change about it. This whole us versus them mentality, this Instagram group chat called Tom's Men. I don't even know who these people are, but they're kind of funny. But today, they said after I posted that I did vote, okay, so I did vote, and I didn't intend to, but there you go. Now, of course, there's the halo effect. Other people said, oh, Tom Ritchie's just doing a publicity stunt because everything he does is just to promote his channel. He doesn't actually care about educating people and having a serious discussion. If that's the opinion that you already have about me, then just go ahead and just go to the next video or something like that. There's all kinds of great stuff on YouTube because I'm not going to change that. There's nothing that I'm going to say to you that is going to change that. And I'm coming to you as I am, and I've been completely sincere about this the whole time, and I have shared my struggle with you about citizenship, and I think that it's great that we have started a conversation about voting that I would say has been at least 80% constructive, because I don't think that people should vote uncritically, but I do think that we need to do something to address the issue of this political polarization that has really gone too far, and it's not exclusive to the left or the right, people. Let's get that whole idea out of our heads. Tom's Men say we are all on the same team. I think everyone in America has lost sight of that. I think 10 seconds of deep breaths are in order for everyone. Deep breaths, everyone. 10 seconds. What if we did that more often? Okay? The idea of peace between people. And with that, I want to make this about gratitude, because there are a lot of people who, through their conversations, their support, not necessarily support for my decision, but support for me as a person, and even some of the hateful types, which this isn't about them, but I'll have a little something to say about them at the end. So we'll get to the haters, all right? But for right now, I really want to think about one of my favorite books, The Meditations of Marcus Aurelius. And The Meditations of Marcus Aurelius, he starts with gratitude. And that's something that I think when we as Americans, we complain about so much stuff, it's just pick a random country, spin a globe around. Do we have physical globes anymore? But spin the globe around or go to Google Maps and just pick a random pointless screen and just close your eyes and you'll probably get an ocean a couple times, but you'll eventually get to a country and you'll read about that country and you'll think, whoa, I am so lucky to be an American. And I am so lucky to be an American, but I'm also so lucky to have great colleagues and great friends, both in real life and online. And today when I voted, I decided I didn't want to be there. Okay. I didn't want to be there, but I decided, you know what? In South Carolina, I can write people in, and I want to write people in that I'm thankful for. And so I'm going to go down the list of people whose contributions over these last few days that I'm very thankful for. And first of all, I'm going to thank John Deaver, my write-in vote for governor, who has a left-of-center political orientation. I get the vibe that he's a moderate Democrat. But he told me, he said that to him, voting is a ritual. And it's a civic ritual. It's just like any other ritual. Like, do we really want to attend funerals? We really don't. Why do we go? Because it's expected of us. And in polite society, there are times when we just have to do what's expected, even if we don't like it. There was one time where Jesus said to Peter, "Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." And there are times when we have to consent to be led because we live in a society under a social contract. And sometimes it's about like saying, look, I will be led here. All right. I'm okay with that. That I exist in the society, that I am an American citizen, and I'm so lucky. And even if I don't want to vote because I'm sick of the toxicity in our political culture, then it's just one of those things. Sometimes you've just got to suck it up and do your civic duty. It's expected of us. And my vote today wasn't about me. I didn't want to vote. Okay, there's not a single like election where my vote had any realistic chance of deciding the outcome. But I realized that it meant a lot to a lot of people that I cared about. And that sometimes, you know, not because I'm angry. I think there's way too much anger right now living in such a great country as we do. But just because I realized that I was letting people down and my vote was not about me. It's about us, U.S., America, and it's about growing up. And I don't regret struggling with my decision. I don't regret sharing that struggle, okay? And I have certainly learned a great deal over the past 2 days. I want to thank Claire Price, my write-in vote for Secretary of State, who voted today in her first election. And Claire is, let's just call her left of center. Now, I tell you, there are conspiracy theorists who are like, oh, Tom Ritchie's trying to push some kind of right-wing agenda on our kids. And it's like, I'm not trying to hide anything, people. It's like, I'm a Republican, all right? It's just that that's part of who I am, and that's okay. And if you're a Democrat, if you're an independent, that's okay too, because this is America, and we can have different beliefs without hating each other. And when Claire, who I ran into for the first time on election night 2016 and started giving me all kinds of back and forth, and I was like, oh my goodness, where did this hater come from? And she knows that I don't share her politics. Yet, she asked me to vote no less than 6 times. Okay? And that, ladies and gentlemen, is America. That deserves some attention, okay? That somebody who knows that I don't share their political orientation would pester me over and over and over again. How can I ignore that, okay? How is that not a reason to get out there and vote? Eric Cortez, state treasurer, left of center. Now, the thing is, at Polite Eric on Twitter, and he lives up to that, okay? I mean, Eric, it's just, he doesn't like my politics, doesn't like Trump. He's riding the blue wave, but he's been a great friend to me and showed me around Brooklyn. And he also teaches his students not to be afraid and to look at the political process rationally. And so, you know, Eric's way of teaching, like, shows students that it's okay to join a political party, it's okay to support candidates, but it's okay if other people are supporting different candidates, and it doesn't mean that those people are a danger to you, and it doesn't mean that our system is about to crumble in some kind of totalitarian mess. This is America, people. And Eric also, I've got to admit, this is payback, because he wrote me in for the New York State Supreme Court. We'll see how my write-in candidacy goes from there, but I'm very honored by your vote, Eric, so thank you so much for being a great teacher and a great friend. Parker Whitehouse, Attorney General. I'm pegging him left of center, okay? I could be wrong. We've never really talked politics, but Parker and I went back and forth on Twitter a little bit after the Silent Sam statue was torn down at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Okay, my ancestors were Confederate veterans. I've got a long history in the South going all the way back to Jamestown. And while certainly there is plenty of room for critical analysis of Southern history, and I think that to glorify it too much, that's really, it's not doing anything, anyone any good. But then again, also the whole idea that, you know, my ancestors were literal Nazis and stuff like that, it's not historically defensible. But the thing is, it has gotten people riled up on both sides. And when I asked Mr. Whitehouse to come onto my channel and let's talk about the subject, let's have a face-to-face, polite discussion about the Civil War, and specifically about Confederate memory and Confederate monuments, Mr. Whitehouse said, okay. And he got on there, and it really felt great to actually have a serious dialogue and to really engage someone on a human level and participate in the marketplace of ideas and show the people watching that it's not dangerous to have these discussions. It's not dangerous that some people are progressive, others are conservative, others are moderate, that we have a multiracial, multiregional society. And that's great, but we have to live in that society and not see people as other and refuse to engage with them. So Parker, you have more than earned my vote, and thank you for all that you do when you're teaching your kids and rendering the public service that you do. Vanessa Poe, for Comptroller General, doesn't even teach social studies, teaches English, and still encourages me and uses my work where it's relevant in her class, and I'm very appreciative, and thank you so much for the encouragement and support, especially recently. Carlos Randall Cook, for State Superintendent of Education. Maybe the last one elected in South Carolina, because we have a constitutional amendment on the ballot to make that an appointed position. We'll see tonight what happens. Now, I don't know Carlos's political affiliation at all. All I know a few things. First of all, we've had pleasant interactions in the past. All right. And I think he's a good man. Sometimes you feel like you can just see that. Like, I mean, this is a good guy, a dedicated teacher. And when I saw, now not with profanity, not with any kind of like ad hominem or anything like that, not with that, without any conspiracy theories or anything like that, that he said that he was disappointed. And it was enough to make me think, okay, that here's somebody that through my previous interactions with him, I respect. And I thought, you know what, if it means so much to this guy, if he thinks that my decision to vote is dangerous to our democratic republic, then it at least warrants that I think about it, that I consider it. And this is really when we talk about modeling citizenship, you know, hearing what somebody has to say and actually thinking that this may have some merit, rather than our current political climate where if the other side wants this, then I have to not want it, okay? That either, you know, with this caravan coming in, we've got to let them all in, or we've got to throw the military out there and not let a single one of them in, okay? That it gets to that point where we're arguing just to argue and we're never listening. And Carlos, I feel like you meant well, and I didn't want to disappoint you. I mean, I see you as a valued colleague, and I think that you would make a great State Superintendent of Education. And I'm, you know, I voted. Wait, am I showing that right? There we go. There we go. I voted. Sorry, I had to reposition the camera a little bit, but I cannot forget Jaime Aguila, who I never even knew his first name before today because he goes all by all kinds of names on Twitter. But I gave you my vote for Commissioner of Agriculture, which is a big deal for people who know me because they know how much I love Thomas Jefferson. Those who labor in the earth are the chosen people of God, if he ever had a chosen people. So I've given you my vote, Jaime. And the thing is, where I've got on my notes here, political affiliation, I'm like, wait, communist? Like, what is this? Which this is kind of an inside joke, but we disagree on just about every political issue. But at the same time, this guy, great American, loves his country. Never thought that I would actually vote for this person, but at the polling place, it just seemed right because at the end of the day, is it just about issues and who our enemies are, or is it seeing that this person that disagrees with me on all kinds of politics is willing to constructively engage me on things and really teach me some things about civic engagement and just being polite and stuff like that. So, one time he's like, could you maybe not call me a communist? And I was like, okay, noted. I think that's good, civil discourse. And so thank you so much, Jaime. I'm so glad that you were on my ballot. Jeff Duncan, my congressman, you're doing a good job. Figured, hey, why not, right? Even though, I mean, this is a pretty safe district gerrymandered, why not show my gratitude to Representative Duncan for doing a great job? Okay, so there you go. Gary Clary, I guess. He was running unopposed for the legislature, so I guess since he was running unopposed, he must be okay. So why not? Okay, so there you go. Mr. Ciparelli, solicitor. I have no idea what his politics are. I don't even know his first name. Stay hydrated, kids. I don't even know his first name. But I do know that he was concerned. He was concerned about my decision. He was concerned about the messaging that it sends to young people. And we had a really good chat. And he was actually the one who inspired me to ask people why they were voting, okay? To really turn this into an inquiry, okay? Because the conspiracy theorist out there, like, oh, he's trying to keep young people from turning out and voting Democratic. He's trying to da da da. No, okay? Some inquiries are actually serious inquiries, and some people actually mean what they say. And some people actually are okay admitting that they struggle with things and not trying to put forward something that is completely fake, as if, like, anything that I said in the video a couple nights ago would help me in the teacher community that I really have a lot of interactions with, okay? So really, people, like, get out of your own head, take a deep breath for a little bit, and let's go. But Mr. Ciparelli, okay, told me, like, hey, I'm disappointed. I think that this is not the right decision. I think you really need to think about it. And, this could send a dangerous message to kids. And I really think that there are two types of people, actually, maybe three types of people, because there are people like me who, I mean, I'll still say to young people, vote if you feel led to, but it's your right, it's your decision. I have no right to judge you for that as an American, because anybody who has died for something worthy in this country, they've died for freedom. Okay? They've died so that you can have a choice and that you can think critically. That's why they died. Okay? And so the thing is, I tell you, participate politically as much as you want. Think about it critically. Okay? Think about it in the context of your own needs, your own life, your own citizenship, all of that. Okay? I'm not going to judge somebody for their level of political participation. Now, for the type of political participation, maybe. Now, not the type as far as their beliefs, but the self-righteousness, which Mr. Ciparelli showed me none of that self-righteousness. I mean, really approached me as a human being, and we had a really long talk on Twitter, on back and forth, just direct messaging, and the chat really meant a lot to me. And without that, it would have, I mean, I probably should have voted for him something higher than solicitor, but we need good solicitors, right? And so I really appreciate that. And when I go into the two types of other teachers, okay, there is the type of teacher that's making a generic appeal to vote because they really want people to vote. Now, there is the third type that they know the demographics. They know that young people are more likely to support Democratic and progressive candidates, and they're trying to get the vote out there. And unlike me, who will, I'll tell you exactly where I'm coming from, okay? But other people will, you know, just kind of put something out there, and they're being covert about it, and it's not right. But as far as that goes, I got none of that from Mr. Ciparelli, and your students are lucky, and I'm lucky to have you in my Twitter orbit, and just thank you so much for a great conversation. Of course, for some of the other offices I had to vote for, you know, of course, there are a lot of great people. Need a shout out to my friend Paul Sargent as well. But, you know, he and I are Euro. You know, he does government as well. But I've usually got my Euro hat when I'm working with Paul. But I voted for Keith Hughes, Tim Betts, Matt Beat, Hip Hughes History, Mr. Betts Class, and Mr. Beat's Social Studies channel, or maybe I think he's rebranded his channel, Mr. Beat. But just great people, and I've enjoyed working with these guys. Mr. Betts and I started about the same time, and Mr. Beat and Hip Hughes, I was watching their stuff before I ever made a YouTube video. So that, glad to vote for them and support my fellow YouTube educators. Amendment 1, I voted yes. Okay, I think that it's going to be better for the state superintendent of education to be appointed by the governor, I think, and confirmed by the legislature and all of that. I think that we're probably going to see more qualified people that way. And I think those people need to be working together. I don't think they need to be, you know, they don't need to be doing this, okay? Just like in South Carolina, we've recently put our governor and lieutenant governor on a ticket to ensure that they're working together. Now, there should be checks and balances in government, but not within the executive branch. So I voted yes on Amendment 1. I also voted for Robert Halfacre. Now, I don't even know the guy, but I trust my friend, okay? My friend, it just, it means a lot to him. And I know that he knows something that I don't. And he said, look, I mean, this guy, it'll be an improvement. He said, I don't know if it'll be a drastic improvement, but it'll be an improvement. And sometimes I think that we have to be willing to listen to people that we know are knowledgeable of a subject. And I think that, yeah, I was being a good friend and I voted for him. Don't know the guy, but I voted for him and I'm glad to help out my friend. Okay, I'll always double back for a friend. And again, thanks to over 60 people who filled out the Google form when I asked people very sincerely, why are you voting? And they told me, and I read 52 of them that were there at the time when I recorded, and you can look at it. It's just very, very difficult for me to read their stories and to not reconsider things, seeing how much it meant to them, especially some of you who were talking about how you come from a demographic that hasn't always been able to vote. Okay, so some really touching stories from y'all. And now for the haters, okay? And what do we do about the haters, ladies and gentlemen? And I'm proud of my profession. I've seen in the last 2 days that there are a lot of great teachers out there. And I've also seen that there are some folks who are teaching kids that it's just like, my goodness, okay? What is it that we're trying to do here? I mean, where one guy said, F Tom Ritchie, except he didn't say F. Now, I won't call him out by his full name because it was in a Facebook group and I want to honor that privacy. I'll just call him Beto, huh? Just call you Beto. And so he says F Tom Ritchie. Now, just to get it right, it's actually Tom F. Ritchie. F is my middle initial. So if you want to do that in the future, Tom F. Ritchie, not F. Tom Ritchie. All right. So just so we're clear on that, so that we can get along better in the future. I mean, who am I kidding? This guy made his opinion of me very, very clear. And other people in a group that is reserved for teachers to discuss things professionally, I think like over 10 people liked this comment. And I don't know. The thing is, I wonder, why does somebody get so emotional about someone just saying that I'm struggling with citizenship, I don't plan to vote? Is it really just this generic kind of thing here? that, oh, I just value voting that much that I have a serious emotional attachment to it? Or is it that you've got your Beto profile picture and you have an end game that's dishonest, that you are not teaching in order to promote critical thinking and train young people to live in harmony with other Americans and to vote as they want to and to make their own decisions, but you want me to help you turn out people like you? And that's not how we educate people in a free society. That we have to think about in terms of, what do we want in our education system? Do we want to teach critical thinking? And if we teach critical thinking, we teach critical thinking. It's not we teach critical thinking here, but, you know, these are my pet projects and sacred cows, and I'm just going to tell people how it is on this. That's not how it works. We either have faith in young people to think for themselves, and we teach them that way, or we are just shepherds leading sheep to whatever pasture we have put there for them. And that is certainly not my mission as an educator. And I'm thankful for these people who in some cases showed some tough love and really gave constructive criticism, because as a result of my struggle, and we go back to Descartes and thinking in terms of that it's good in all cases to doubt at least once, that everyone should struggle with citizenship and think about what kind of country you want and what kind of political process you want to participate in and how much, and make it mean something to you. And in this sense, I realized that there were a lot of good people who believed that there was some value in me voting. And that, I think, is the basis of citizenship, all right? That citizenship is not just about what it is that I get, but also what I do for the community. And so there are things that I need to do for the community. I don't need to just vote. But knowing that it meant so much to my community, I think that it was really, at the end of the day, I wouldn't say a no-brainer, because it's been a very, very intense time. And those of you who were among just the people that were just spewing hate at me, go meditate, do some yoga, something like that. Looks like the Democrats are going to take the House, and I think it's, you know, that's great for you. And our system trends toward equilibrium. Like, the framers of our Constitution, like, it's got its flaws, but overall they knew what they were doing, and they've created a system of government that has stood the test of time. And we need to have a little faith in that before we start just attacking people. And we need to think about what we want the next generation to look like. Is it something where we want the other side extinguished? Because we've seen what happens when people want that. We've seen the totalitarian regimes of the 20th century and how that worked out. So, are we teaching critical thinking? Are we teaching empathy? Or are we brainwashing? Are we indoctrinating? And are we teaching people to hate each other? And there's certainly nothing to be gained from that. Because, as Tom's men say, we're all on the same team. And even if we have this day where we show our political colors, we vote, that so many Americans of so many political persuasions, I tell you what, it just has really, it's really touched me. And I think that I will be a better voter in the future because I struggled with it and I thought critically and I didn't just blindly go where somebody else was leading, but I did listen to people. And I think that that is very important. Thank you for those of you who have gone with me through this entire struggle. And once this is done, then I'm going to get back to educating, and let's prepare people for their exams. And again, just proud to be an American. And thank you all so much, because gratitude is the most important thing right now.